And when you find it, let's all stand. We'll start with verse 20. And brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And a multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe. Who have received such a charge, trust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, and he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thy no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, and he sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. Lord, we pray that you'll just help me as I speak. Lord, help me to say what you'd have me say. Lord, we just pray for our pastor and his family. Bring them home safe. Take care of them. And bring them back. Get them healthy, I should say, Lord, and be back in church. And Lord, we just ask that you'll just be with us now. We ask it all in thy name. Amen. You can be seated. Quite well-known story here. I mean, thousands of messages have been preached using this passage. And, I mean, you can run many, many different directions with it, what you can. But tonight, I want to run one direction with it, and I'll get to that one point here in a little bit. But let's kind of chop it up a little bit. Let's look at it. Let's digest it a little bit. We know that Paul and Silas, they are out preaching, and they're not preaching what's popular. Now, today's time in churches, and if you want to have, you can grow the largest church you want if you don't preach, if you preach popular things. Would you agree? I mean, there's churches out there that's running thousands. There's churches running hundreds of thousands. But they are not preaching the Word of God. They're not preaching what is expected that they should be preaching. And so we find here that the Paul and Silas, they are not preaching what is popular. They're preaching against sin. They're preaching about Jesus Christ. They're preaching about him coming and dying and paying for the sins. You understand? They're preaching the gospel. And whenever you go out and about and you start talking about the gospel, the old devil, he's going to fight hard to shut you down. He's going to do whatever it takes. Why? He doesn't want people to hear the gospel. Do you understand that if he can keep you from hearing the gospel, that you're not going to get saved? But then do you realize also, if you're not busy for Christ, he'll leave you alone also. If you don't want picked on by the devil, just don't do nothing for Jesus. But if you are the type that likes to fight and you want to go against the devil and you want to go against and create havoc for him, just do something for Jesus. It's pretty simple. And you say, man, I don't know if I want that battle. Well, I'll tell you what, I'd rather have that battle and have Jesus looking down and being satisfied with me and being excited that I am doing something for him than I am worried about the devil. So we find out here that they are exceedingly troubling the city, and they are teaching which is not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. So that they're not enjoying this. It's not an enjoyable time. And it says, and a multitude rose up against them, And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. So they are doing what's right. They're doing what God has asked them to do. They are doing God's plan. And do you understand this morning or tonight that just because you may be doing what God wants don't mean you're going to live in a bed of roses? Because there are thorns in the bed of roses. You can't go to a rose bush and mess with the roses without eventually getting pricked by a thorn. Would you not agree? And it is not an enjoyable time, but it is a time that hurts. But they are in the midst of it. But look at verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison. So picture this. They are preaching the gospel. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They are being beat. And as of right now, the first time that some of us, myself included in this, many times when the devil comes after us, we give in so quick and we throw the towel in so fast that it didn't even appear that we was even in the battle. But these men are being beat now. The stripes are being laid up on their back. I don't know about you, but have you ever had any stripes? Have you ever had any stripes put on you? No, I have. Miss Judy, have you? Who put them there? Your father did. And probably deserved it, didn't he? Oh, okay. Well, you didn't supposed to say it that way. I remember times when there was a time we, I told you this morning, we grew up pretty poor, what we did, not having a lot. And I was not a lover of chicken noodle soup. And we, back then, you could buy a Campbell's chicken noodle soup, I think, for like 20 cents, 25 cents a can. And my dad would work hard to get the money for that can of chicken noodle soup. And so there was a time we had some cats. I had a black cat, I had a white cat, and I had a black and white cat. And I had them outside, what I did, because that's where cats belong, amen, and being chased by dogs and wild critters. But end up, we had these cats. Do you realize cats can be very useful on hiding evidence? Yeah. I went outside. I'd sit there, and we lived in a little house trailer, about a 12 by 50 house trailer. And the kitchen was clear in front of the house, and the door was right up in that area. So as we would sit there, you know, kids that don't want to eat, what they do with their food, play with it. My dad would get up, and he'd go to the back of the trailer. He'd go to the other room. I'd sneak outside, and I would feed the cats my chicken noodle soup. The cats would eat it, no evidence. Hey, you're not guilty if there ain't no evidence. Well, being a smart young man that I was, I asked my dad, I said, hey, do you ever hear me get up and go outside after you leave? Yeah, Kashmir, right. Kashmir just hit herself in the forehead. Duh. Well, that night, guess what we're eating? Chicken noodle soup. I sneak outside and I go out there and I dump the chicken noodle soup out. And the cats, man, they love me. I walk in and my dad is standing in the doorway. Now, the only people in here that knows my dad, as far as I know, would be the Grimeses. Brother Grimes, how do you think that went over with my dad as a young man? Pretty sweet. My dad grabbed a hold of me, laid me across his lap, and took a belt to me. Yes, I have had stripes. Man, they was right across the buttocks. And I sat down and I felt them. And when I stood up, I felt them. And when the pants moved, I felt them. You got the idea? But this ain't nothing compared to what these guys have received. They received stripes that drawed blood. They received stripes that broke the skin, that created cuts. It was a beating. It was a beating like we... no one in here has ever has encountered. Now, I know what my little spankings were like that I got, but I can't imagine what they're going through. Picture yourself. You're doing right. You came, picture this. You came to church today. You leave church, they gather you up outside and they start beating you. Oh, Lord, I know how my flesh would be. Lord, I'm serving you. Lord, I teach junior church. Lord, I tithe. Lord, I go to church. And why am I receiving a beating? Is that not what we would all think? At least I would. Maybe you're a better Christian than me. And then they don't get just end up getting beat, but we find out here they end up in a prison. And they're here in the prison. It says that they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So now they're tied up. Man, Lord, I went to church today. I tied today. Now I've been beat. Now I'm in jail. My feet are tied up. I'm in stocks. Man, Lord, this is really fair. That's what we would. Lord, why is this going on? And it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And what'd they do? They sang praises. Church, when the battles come, learn to sing praises. When the hard times come, learn to sing praises. When the times that you don't know how you're going to get through it, learn to sing praises. You learn to praise Him during the hard times. And when the sweet times are there, it's just so much easier to praise Him. But the problem is we spend too much time in our flesh that when the hard times come and the rough times come, we spend no time praising Him. Would you agree? I fall guilty of it. Praise Him. That song, praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Man, we need to praise Him. And they're singing praises and they're praying. They're saying, oh God, you know, I don't know what they're saying in their prayer. God, thank you for putting us here. I don't know what they're saying. And they might be praying, hey Lord, can you bail us out? I know what I'd be praying. Dear Lord, please kill everyone that had whipped me today and kill them all and let me get out of here. You know, that's what I would be thinking. But I'm not that spiritual of a person, so. But they're praising God and they're singing praises and they're praying. And then the rest part of that verse, and it says, and the prisoners heard them. Do you understand? When you're going through your trials, you're going through your troubles, you're going through the persecution, you're going through the battles, the people around you should still know that you're a Christian. I'm not one, when I get mad, I'm not one to throw things. I'm not one to get all upset. I just kind of, if I'm working on something, you know. Now, do I want to throw the pipe wrench? Yes. Do I want to throw the screwdriver? Yes. But do you understand? There's consequences that come with that. Your kids will see it. Your wife will see it. Your coworkers will see it. You can't do that. Now, I'll tell you a story, true story. A service tech, he was in working on a furnace one time. I didn't know the man, but he was working on a furnace one time. And the lady came and said, sir, I'm going to run to the store. He said, ma'am, can you please tie or pin your little dog up? Ended up, she said, yes, sir, I'll pin him up. Well, she must have forgot because she didn't. Little dog, as soon as the front door closed, the little dog, he heard it coming down the steps. Came down the steps, grabbed a hold of him, was biting him. Out of his anger, he took the screwdriver and threw it at the dog and killed it. He's like, oh my soul. He picks the dog up, shoves it in his toolbox. He goes outside and hides it in his van. Lady comes home. Sir, have you seen my dog? He said, yes, I did. He goes, I went to get something out of the van, opened the door up, and that dog went running right down the street. As he got away from the house, dispatch called him and said, "Hey, where's that woman's dog at?" And he said, "Well, you're not going to believe this. I killed it." Hey, what got the best of him? His anger, his flesh. You say, "Is that a true story?" That's told his true story. Praise God, when I did heating and air, I didn't have to kill no one's dog. Not that I didn't want to, but I didn't have to. But ended up, do you understand? When we let our flesh and we let our circumstances control us, it never works out. We get upset with our spouse, we mouth off to our spouse. We get upset with our parents, we mouth off to our parents. We end up our co-workers, our bosses, whatever it may be. If you do something or say something and you turn red after because you're embarrassed of it, chances are the Holy Spirit wasn't involved in it. Because he'll never lead us to do anything that embarrasses us. So the prisoners here, they're hearing Paul and Silas singing. They hear them praising God. Hey, you know what? They're praising God in the midst of their storm, in the midst of their trial. They're not letting their flesh get the best of them. Not my point yet. Don't worry. It'll be a quick point when I get there. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drawled out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Why would he do that? Because the punishment he was going to receive for losing the prisoners was going to be greater than just go ahead and taking his own life. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Church, do you understand? Sometimes we go through things for that we can be a help to someone else. This Christianity thing is not all about us. It's all about him. And when we make it all about him, we may have to go through some hard times. We may have to suffer a little bit. We may have to walk an extra mile. But when we make it all about him, everything in the end will come out all right. Would have this prison keeper and his family possibly ever get saved? Do you understand that we're going to get to shake their hand one day? You're going to get to see them in heaven one day? Do you understand that? Serving Jesus, there is a price you pay. But it ain't near the price that he paid for you to pay for your sins. And it's a price you pay that you will receive a reward for. I am to store my treasures where? Come on, talk to me. In heaven. And how am I going to store my treasures in heaven? I store them in heaven by serving Jesus, by doing what he would have me to do. The problem is we spend too much time serving our flesh, serving our worldly desires, and you're not going to have no treasures in heaven. Here's my point. I told you I wouldn't be long tonight. Here's my point. When did they get loose? And what was the timeline between the time they got loose until the jailer came out. Did they have time to escape? I believe so. Why you say that? Because the jailer thought they was gone, so he was going to go ahead and do what? Church, one of the biggest battles I feel as Christians, we don't do things in God's time. How easy would have it been? It's God's will for me to get out of here because the shackles just came off. The doors are wide open. I need to go. Would have you been tempted to? I've been beat. My life is going to be taken from me. You do understand they was going to go ahead and kill these guys. That's what they're in the business. That's their business. That's what they was doing. They could have ran. They could have, you know, during the same time, you do understand, Peter went through some of the same stuff. There was a church home praying for him. He got out, got home, ended up, the little maid went running in. Hey, Peter's outside. Yeah, right. Sure. You're nuts. You saw a ghost. It's Peter's ghost. Ended up, Peter kept knocking. Hey, let me in. You understand, they're being persecuted. They're going through some tough times. Times that you've never seen. Times I've never seen. And here is Paul and Silas. They've been beaten. They're in the prison. And the prison is opened up. And they could have ran. And if they would have ran, where would the prison guard be today? In hell. But because they waited on God's time. Not their time. I know what my time would have been. I'd have been getting out of there. Like they used to say, I got out of Dodge. Man, I'd have been jumping ship. When the ship's going down, buddy, I took lifeguarding classes years ago, but I don't know if I'd swim that good anymore, but I'd be getting off the ship. It's going down. And they could have ran and they could have fled, but you know what? They stayed. Because it was on God's timeline. What's your timeline tonight? Are you doing it in God's time? Are you doing it in your time? This message is for me tonight. I'm always been, now I've done so much better as I've gotten older, but I've always been that guy that jumped in the middle of everything. A door open, I never look on the other side to see if there's a floor there. Man, we walk through a door, fall through the floor, we fell through the floor. Didn't work out so good. But if I stop, breathe, read God's word, I pray, I listen to the man of God preach, I listen to counsel other Christians around me, guess what? If I just slow down, and listen to God's time. His time's so much better than mine. I don't know how you would have reacted that night. But I know this. Every battle I go through, every trial I go through, I want out of it now. Because it's uncomfortable. But that might not be God's will. That might not be what God has in store for you. God has something bigger than that maybe for you. Think about not just the jailer, not just the jailer. And they said in verse 30, and brought them out and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And thy what? Parents? You better have your timeline set up. It's going to affect your kids. Grandparents, you better have your timeline set up. You better be doing it in God's time. It'll affect your grandkids. You do understand everything we do in life don't just affect us, it affects everyone around us. Oh, it's my life. I'll do what I want. Go ahead. Somebody's watching. I'll do it when I want. Go ahead. There's a price to pay. How do you think the reunion was when Paul and Silas got to heaven? And the prison guard came up to him and said, "Man, if you would have ran, I wouldn't be here right now." My question to you tonight is, if you'd have done things on your timeline, who would have not been blessed? Who would not have received salvation? Who would not have received what God had in store for them? Because we wanted out of the ugly situation. Can I explain to you today why my daughter and my son-in-law heading back to Missouri, their car broke down. We had Jessica and Caleb had to go pick them. I can't explain that. But I'm hoping when they was at the auto parts store trying to get parts to fix it and they was working on their car, I'm hoping they had a good testimony. Is my wife happy that she gets to see her daughter come back? Probably. But even during those times, we need to stop and say, "Lord, your time. What do you have in store? What do you want to happen out of this situation?" We as Christians, if we would be seeking Him instead of worrying about our bubble, there's something good that might come out of it. But we're so wrapped up in our own bubbles. And we go through life bouncing off everybody. I like watching the, have you seen the rodeos where the people get in the big ball and they throw it out there? And the bulls run around and they bounce this big ball and the person's in there bouncing all over the place. Has anyone seen that before? It's pretty wild. I'm not interested in doing it. Any of you interested in doing it? No, you're not. Me neither. Especially at this age. But, you know, many times I see that and I'll watch it and I'll say, "Man, that guy has to be 6 foot in the air, 8 foot in the air. Man, that's going to hurt." But as I've watched them and I've thought about it, I thought, you know, that's like many Christians. We're the bull. We don't care who's around us. We don't care what's going on. We're just running into everything else, making it uncomfortable, making it miserable for someone else. And, you know, we don't need to be the bull. We need to be one of the clowns trying to save the guy in the ball. Why? Because God's time. Just stop. "Lord, is this time for me to do this? Lord, am I about through this battle? Lord, am I in the middle of this battle for I can be a blessing to somebody? Lord, am I going through this for that I can be a witness to you?" Them are hard questions. Ask yourself. But you do understand, we go through things for that we can help others. How do we grow? You grow by pain. I grow. Daniel, he was growing so fast, what he was there for a while, that his feet was hurting all the time. We're like, "Well, what's wrong with your feet, son? Come on." Obviously, I didn't have a growing problem, growing fast problem, other than out. I'm like, There ain't nothing wrong with your feet. Being a dad, you know, I'm the tough guy. There ain't nothing wrong with your feet. Just suck it up. His mom was over there. Oh, but his feet hurt. I'm like, I don't know why his feet hurt. He's young. His feet shouldn't hurt. Well, ended up, doctors told us that his feet was growing so fast, he was having growing pains. I thought growing pains was for, I don't know what growing pains were for. But I ended up, you know, when we grow, there comes pain. There comes discomfort. And when we're going through those times of discomfort, we're going through them times of pain, we want out of them now. But you might be in them for a reason. Would you say that Paul and Silas was in them for a reason tonight? 100%. What are you in them for? What are you going through for? What battle? Don't get out too quick. Hang in there. Don't see an open door and go running for it. God might have more in plan. I don't know what you're going through tonight. Don't know if you're going through anything. Maybe in 2026 you will be going through something. I don't know. But in God's time, praise God that Paul and Silas did not jump early. And now there's people in heaven because of it. Let's pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed as the piano comes. Like I said, I didn't plan on keeping you long. Just one point. God's time. Are you living in God's time? Maybe as she plays, if we'll stand our feet. You know, we can look at it the other direction too. Maybe God wants you doing something now. You know, I preached there. I pointed out that they waited. But maybe God wants you to be doing something now. This is God's time now, but you don't want to be uncomfortable. Think about it that way. I'll tell that person about Jesus next week. I'll fulfill that ministry next week. I'll volunteer to do that next month. Maybe it's God's time for you to do it now. I'll start being nice to my wife next month. Maybe you need to be nice to her now. Preacher's been talking to me about doing something in the ministry. Maybe not right now, but maybe later. Maybe God wants you to do it now. Only you and God knows. His timing. I'll do it when I'm older. Older may never come. But I guarantee you there's a family in heaven tonight that's pretty thankful that Paul and Silas listened to God's time. Is there a family in heaven tonight because of you? Have you led someone to the Lord? What rewards will you receive? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. Lord, it was just a little thought as I read through the story, and As I was reading through there many times, I've preached it in many different ways. But Lord, it just kind of hit me. If they would have left as soon as they got loose, they would have never led to jail or to the Lord. And Lord, you convicted me of some things there. It ain't about my comfort. It ain't about what I want, Lord. It's about what you want for me. Lord, when they walked away that day, they had more to sing and praise God for than what they did when they went in. Why? Because a sinner had came to know you as their Savior. Lord, I pray that we as a church, we will, in 2026, we will either wait upon your time or we'll react upon your time. It could be too late, or it might not be soon enough. Lord, I just ask that you be with us. Lord, bring us back safely. Lord, bring us back Tuesday night. That way we can have a wonderful New Year's Eve. It won't be on New Year's Eve, but a service. And Lord, we pray that you'll receive all the glory and all the praise. We ask all in thy name. Amen.